A win for U.S. taxpayers. That's what one lawmaker is calling new action by the Energy Department. The agency is pulling a $200 million grant from battery company Microvast. The company was found to have close links to Beijing and admitted China influences its business. All that as the giant project aims to foster battery making here in the U.S.
This program is brought to you by Preserve Gold, the number one precious metals IRA provider. Call 855-962-3322.
Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. The U.S. Energy Department is pulling the plug on a $200 million energy grant. The funding was earmarked for lithium battery company Microvast Holdings. But lawmakers have raised concerns about its links to the Chinese Communist Party and called on the agency to reconsider. GOP Congressman Frank Lucas called the decision to revoke the money a win for taxpayers and American businesses, adding that these funds are intended to strengthen America's battery production and supply chain, not to tighten China's stranglehold on these supplies. The grant stemmed from the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law from 2021 and would go toward building a new plant in Tennessee. It would also support R&D for specialized electric vehicle battery separator technology developed by both General Motors and Microvast. The Energy Department considers a range of factors before handing out awards, including the company's ability to perform tasks outlined by the grant, its audit record, and accounting system. Candidates must also hand over a lot of confidential details, which are weighed in the department's final decision. Microvast was one of 20 companies selected for the grant, designed to strengthen battery making on U.S. soil. But based on Securities and Exchange Commission data from last month, nearly 70% of its revenue came from China, with just 3% from the U.S. The company also admitted Beijing exerts substantial influence over its operation and may intervene at any time and with no notice. Asked about the news Tuesday, a spokesperson for China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said what the U.S. government decides about U.S. companies is a matter for the U.S. itself, and I will not comment on it. Microvast did not immediately respond to a press request for comment. TikTok is suing the state of Montana. Starting next year, a new bill will ban the app within state borders. The social media company filed a lawsuit Monday, alleging the ban violates the Constitution as well as other federal laws. NTD's Jeremy Sandberg has more on the legal challenges facing the ban.
TikTok on Monday filed its lawsuit challenging the first state to ban the app. The China-owned company argues the ban violates First Amendment rights of the company and users. The lawsuit says a ban would violate the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution and is preempted by federal law because it intrudes upon matters of exclusive federal concern. It's the second lawsuit against the state since the ban was announced. A group of five content creators citing First Amendment rights sued Montana last week. Proponents of the state law are concerned the app could be used to allow the Chinese regime access to U.S. citizens' information or push pro-Beijing messages and misinformation to influence the public. A Montana Department of Justice spokesperson stated the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, is using TikTok as a tool to spy on Americans by collecting keystrokes, personal information, and locations of users. A bipartisan group of lawmakers in the U.S. Senate, along with the heads of the FBI and CIA, have all said TikTok could pose a national security threat because its Beijing-based parent company ByteDance operates under Chinese law. China's national intelligence law requires that companies cooperate with the CCP for state intelligence work. The ban takes effect on January 1st next year. It prohibits downloads of TikTok in the state and would fine app stores or TikTok $10,000 per day for making the app available to personal devices. Penalties would not apply to users. The statewide ban would be void if the platform is sold to a company not based in a country designated as a foreign adversary. Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News.
Legal action in the Sunshine State. A group of Chinese citizens living in Florida sued the state on Monday in an effort to strike down a law that would ban Chinese nationals from buying property in Florida. The four plaintiffs are representative by the American Civil Liberties Union. They called the law discriminatory against Chinese people. Governor Ron DeSantis signed the law earlier in May, saying that it would help protect Americans from the influence of the Chinese Communist Party. The governor is expected to announce his presidential bid Wednesday. The law takes effect July 1st. If violated, buyers and sellers would face felony charges. Plus, the rule gives the state the power to seize their properties. The law covers the ownership of agricultural lands and properties near the state's critical infrastructure, like oil processing facilities and military installations. Those who already own properties within that area must register with the state. Otherwise, they'll face fines up to $1,000 per day. Following in Florida's footsteps, the push to block Beijing from owning U.S. land is growing. 27 states are now considering whether to restrict foreigners from buying farmland. But Louisiana is taking it one step further. The state's lawmakers are set to vote on two bills this week. The state House bill, scheduled for Tuesday, would ban people from China from owning or renting property in Louisiana. Though that wouldn't apply to U.S. citizens, legal permanent residents, or people on student or employer visas, meaning most Chinese people legally in the U.S. would not face restrictions. The second bill, the state Senate bill, is up for a vote on Monday. If passed, the rule would ban citizens of foreign adversaries from owning or renting land within 50 miles of U.S. military facilities, with one exception, if the person has legal permanent resident status. Over in Florida, the Sunshine State's bill addresses similar concerns. People from countries, including China, are now banned from buying property within 10 miles of a military installation or critical infrastructure. Texas is weighing a similar bill. The measures are facing backlash from some Chinese Americans. They argue the rules could lead to discrimination and hate crimes. All this following reports that Chinese buyers have been scooping up land near U.S. military bases. For example, a Chinese corn milling company bought land 20 minutes away from the Grand Forks Air Force Base in North Dakota. A former Chinese general also bought land near Texas's Laughlin Air Force Base, the largest pilot training base in the U.S. Air Force. More than 150 House Republicans have asked the Environmental Protection Agency to cancel its proposed emission standards. They argue the proposal would saddle consumers with higher costs, isolate Americans in rural areas, and increase economic dependence on China. Let's take a closer look.
The group is led by Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers. It sent a letter on May 22nd to EPA Administrator Michael Regan. The letter calls standards for light and medium-duty vehicles and heavy-duty trucks unworkable and impractical. The letter also states that a fast shift to electric vehicles would only benefit the Chinese Communist Party. That's because China has a stranglehold on the critical minerals supply chain and the manufacturing of EV batteries.
Families torn apart. Next, a glimpse into a brutal suppression of faith in China and how it's changed the lives of millions, including those here in the United States. NTD's Iris Tao has more on a congressional hearing.
So please help my father and help the people under the persecution in China.
At a congressional hearing, you heard from several U.S. residents whose family members are being persecuted in China because of their faith. Let's take a listen.
10 years ago, my mom was behind the bars and my father was trying his best to save my mom. And 10 years later, my father is behind bars. My mom and I are trying our best to save my father.
Joe Yo is an engineer and a popular YouTuber living here in the U.S. His dad was recently sentenced to 8 years in prison for practicing Falun Gong, a meditation practice based on the values of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. But the Chinese Communist Party deemed the practice's popularity a threat, and it launched a campaign of persecution that's led to millions being detained and tortured throughout the past two decades.
Our family remained separate.
And he's not the only one. Lydia Wang wants to rescue her mom, who was arrested 11 times in China for holding on to her faith.
She has suffered for 24 years under the CCP's persecution and has been in prison over 10 years since 1999. We would like to bring her home to New York.
This is not something that just affects people in China.
And Congressman Gus Bilirakis of Florida, who convened this briefing, calls on the U.S. Congress to do more to help.
No person should ever be intimidated, forced from their ancestral homeland, imprisoned or murdered simply because of their beliefs. We've just begun to fight.
Reporting in Washington, D.C., Iris Tao, NTD News.
More foreign companies are retreating from China as Beijing continues its clampdown. Next up, U.S. e-shopping giant Amazon. The company will soon shut down one of its services in China for the second time this year. In an email sent out Tuesday, Amazon said starting July 17th, the company will suspend its app store services in China. The notice didn't give a reason for the departure. The news comes as the business environment for American companies in China continues shifting for the worse. In recent months, several companies' offices have been raided by Chinese police. What's more, a new regulation makes it easier for the Chinese regime to accuse foreign companies of so-called espionage. The service shutdown appears to be a follow-up to an earlier Amazon decision. This year, Amazon also announced the closure of its Kindle e-book store in China. By June, Kindle users in China won't be able to buy new e-books through the platform. Beijing widening its control over speech. A recent announcement warned foreign embassies not to display signs it deems propaganda, like those showing messages in solidarity with Ukraine. Analysts call the directive political bullying. Let's take a closer look.
In a May 10th notice, China's foreign ministry told foreign embassies not to display politicized propaganda on their buildings in order to avoid inciting disputes between countries. Diplomats in Beijing said the order targets solidarity with Ukraine. After Russia waged war on the country last February, foreign missions of the European Union, Britain, Germany, and Poland flew Ukraine's flags on their outer walls. Later, a Ukrainian flag poster outside the Canadian embassy was defaced with an anti-NATO graffiti. China has called for peace in Ukraine but has refrained from condemning Russia. When the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin in March, Xi Jinping made a high-profile visit to Russia, seeking a boost in their cooperation.
The Chinese Communist Party has been advocating among its people that Russia's invasion of Ukraine is justified. That is to create public opinion for its armed reunification of Taiwan. Those signs that run counter to Beijing's advocacy would undermine its brainwashing efforts.
The Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations shields diplomats from legal sanctions in the country of assignment, but Beijing's notice claims that embassies are obliged to comply with Chinese laws and regulations. Analysts warn that Beijing's control of speech has reached beyond its borders.
If foreign embassies pull down the pro-Ukraine flags or signs, the CCP would achieve its goal of political bullying. The communist regime not only seeks to control other countries over international affairs, it even lays its hands on their consulates and tries to meddle in their internal affairs.
At least one diplomat says their mission won't comply with Beijing's request.
Next, we zoom in on another battlefield between the U.S. and China, the Pacific Islands. Washington just signed deals with three island nations in the region in efforts to counter Beijing's growing influence. Those are with Papua New Guinea, Palau, and Micronesia. That's after the Solomon Islands and Beijing signed a secret deal last year that took Washington by surprise. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister James Morape, both signing a security pact Monday.
We are deeply invested in the Indo-Pacific because our planet's future is being written here. Papua New Guinea is playing a critical role in shaping that future.
The agreement would expand the Pacific Island nation's capabilities and make it easier for the U.S. military to train with its forces. They also struck a separate agreement on increasing maritime surveillance of Papua New Guinea's exclusive economic zone through U.S. Coast Guard patrols, protecting its economy from illegal fishing. President Biden was supposed to be there in person, but cut his trip short, flying back to the U.S. after the G7 summit in Japan to continue debt ceiling talks. As for Palau and Micronesia, the U.S. renewed strategic pacts with them last week, known as COFA Accords. COFA, or Compact of Free Association Agreements, means the U.S. is responsible for the island's defense. It also provides economic assistance while giving the U.S. exclusive strategic presence in return. These deals stretch back to the 1980s and became more important as Beijing ramps up its influence in the region. A new socialist Tibet. That's what Chinese leader Xi Jinping is calling for.
On Tuesday, Xi made a rare comment on the region, saying that Tibet must step up its development. The statement comes shortly after the world's top democracies expressed concerns over the human rights issue in Tibet, which angered Beijing. China is often accused of stifling religious and cultural freedoms in the predominantly Buddhist region. Beijing says it peacefully liberated Tibet in 1951 after sending in Chinese troops. Officials said the forceful invasion ended what they called a backward feudal serfdom. After a failed uprising against the regime, Tibet's spiritual leader the Dalai Lama fled the region in 1959. He's since been labeled a separatist by Chinese authorities.
That's all for today's China in Focus on YouTube. We're now sharing a shortened version of our program here after being demonetized for 2 years. Here's what to look out for in our second half. Pacific Island nations are back in the spotlight. Last time, it was because of World War II. But fast forward to today, both the U.S. and China are battling for influence in the region. Why is an area thousands of miles from the U.S. so important? Cleo Pascal, senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, breaks it down. The full episode is available on our partner platform, Epoch TV. To sign up, click the link down below. Thanks for watching China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. See you tomorrow.